Welcome to the show. Today's word of the day is FUD. Do you know what FUD is? Well, it stands for fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Basically, it's what the mainstream media and politicians use to spread propaganda about a particular subject in order to shake out public, opinion about something. So we're going to talk about that on the show today because a lot of things are FUD today. States looking to ban Bitcoin mining over one big lie, one big pile of Elmer Fudd. Billionaire Bitcoin investor Michael Saylor joins us on the show today to weigh in on a number of those issues. We'll talk to him on the show. You don't want to miss that. And fourth, stimulus checks. Are they on the way? The White House just opened the door. I told you this was going to happen. So now we will see the big push. I don't know if they're playing good cop, bad cop on this whole thing. But we will bring that to you today on the show. And evictions are about to explode thanks to a judge's order. Morning Invest starts right now. And welcome to Morning Invest. I'm Clayton Morris. I'm an investor. And on this show, we teach you how to build wealth by turning short-term profits into long-term holds. We teach you how to navigate this corrupt Wall Street and political system so that you can actually protect your family's wealth. We are live every morning right here at 9 a.m. Eastern time, so go ahead and smash that like button. David's in the control booth. Do you have the lights on today over there?
Good morning.
Show.
Do I have my lights on?
Yeah. I know you're like you're sitting in the dark. I don't know.
I don't even have my camera on. That's how dark it is here today.
Why do you have your camera on? You're not the producer of the show. You're like you're not a part of the show or something. You're like, I'm just not even putting on the camera today. Do you have pants on?
I do. I have pants on. Here we go. There it is.
That's
boom.
Well, that's good. At least you have pants on. My God.
Yeah. Today I do.
God. Yeah. What do you say? Like Mickey Mouse? Does Mickey Mouse? He doesn't wear pants, or no? He doesn't wear a shirt.
Yeah, he doesn't wear a shirt.
He wears overalls. Right? Yeah, but he wears pants.
Yeah, red pants.
It's like Grover. He doesn't wear pants. But he is here. He's ready to dive into a big show today. Hope everyone is doing well. Get your super chat questions in. Anything finance related, anything investing related, we'll take them today. I'm happy to share those things with you today and answer your questions. We've got a lot of news to get to today. I'm excited about today's show. We've got a lot of things to talk about and a lot of sad things to talk about. And we'll see through the framework of the mainstream media how they're trying to paint the picture on a lot of this FUD. FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Have a lot more of that. We should get a mascot for FUD.
Yeah, we can't make it Grover either because it's negative.
Right. But I like Elmer FUD. I like the fear, uncertainty, and doubt about Bitcoin, about, you know, people want to scare you.
Afghanistan.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't
leave. We're leaving Afghanistan. We're starting to move out. We're starting to pull our troops out of Afghanistan. So we got to shed a lot of, we got to deal with a lot of FUD. You're going to see all sorts of headlines, you know. You're going to start, like, these are the types of headlines you're going to start seeing a lot more of. Like, you know, this is FUD right here. Like, Bitcoin, NFTs, and other crypto fads are destroying our planet. MSNBC. Look at that. Deflating the planet. Blockchain, crypto fads. These
and
are
you
all,
know what?
Yeah, here's another one.
You know what's crazy? Think about this for a second. Netflix, Disney Plus, all that stuff. It takes just as much to run those servers. I mean, you're not going to touch those. Right. Like, let's look at the environmental impact on that then. If we're going to go down that road, let's actually go down that road.
Absurd. Yeah, exactly. You want to dive into it, and we will on the show today. Because we're not going to let them get away with this FUD. Here's another. I mean, look at this. This is a New Yorker. Why Bitcoin is bad for the environment. Crypto mining uses huge amounts of power and can be as destructive as the real thing.
You know what's crazy is there's somebody that's been behind the scenes and they were like, man, how can we get Wall Street back up and get rid of this cryptocurrency? I got it. Let's focus on the environmental impact of it. People will eat that up.
Yeah, let's create this propaganda based on faulty studies at the University of Hawaii. And which have been peer reviewed and pulled apart. Here's another one. Oh, Bitcoin consumes more electricity than Argentina. Yeah, sure it does. More electricity than the entire country of Argentina.
Let's see that BBC. Same number on porn.
Right. Yeah. What about you? Exactly. Exactly. What about like you porn or whatever those sites are?
Yeah. Porn consumes more electricity than all the 10 big countries combined.
Yeah, Tesla's making a huge mistake investing in heavily in Bitcoin because it undermines its environmental image. Cambridge researchers say it consumes around... Right, so this Cambridge research and the University of Hawaii. Yeah. All of these things, and you know, being debunked based on faulty data. We'll go through all of that this morning on the show. But first, let's check the markets, shall we? Let's see what Bitcoin is doing right now. Bitcoin up to 57,000. Holding steady at 57,000. Where will it go this weekend? Ethereum also back over 3,400 and rocking and rolling is Ethereum. Let's look at Doge this morning. Let me see where we get Doge. I had to see the old Doge. Here we go. Here's Doge. Meanwhile, yeah, we'll get Doge up here. Meanwhile, we'll get, here's Doge. Here's Doge. Dogecoin hovering around that 60 cent mark. 60 cents for Dogecoin as we await Elon Musk's appearance on Saturday Night Live this weekend. People are going to make some good money on Doge. And gold. Look at gold this morning, up a little bit. And silver also up right now. It's been quite a run on silver lately. So we'll have some talk about that today with Michael Saylor on the show. Got a lot to get to on that front. Let's talk about fourth stimulus checks this morning. So, and we will get to a lot of other stories around the markets just shortly here. But let's talk about four stimulus checks. So yesterday, Jen Psaki at the White House press briefing was asked about, will we see recurring stimulus checks? What will we see in the form of additional direct payments to the American people? And voila, Jen Psaki let the cat out of the bag that, yes, the White House is open to that, that it, yes, it will cost money, that they are open to direct payments, once again, a fourth stimulus check. And didn't I call this, folks? Didn't I say, like, this would have to come from Congress first? And that's what she said yesterday, that there would have to be support from Congress. And she says, well, we will basically defer to Congress on this. Okay. Well, Congress wants it. The Democrats are pushing for it. There's a number of signature signers who are pushing for this additional stimulus check for the American people. The question is now whether the White House will support this. And it seems, as according to Jen Psaki yesterday, that the White House is open to that. And ultimately, it's up to Congress to get this new round of stimulus money into the hands of the American people. There is some, you know, interesting data, though, this morning about states and how they've been spending this money. According to reports this morning, there are a number of states that are sitting on a lot of cash. They're sitting on a lot of stimulus money that they've received. And Tom Wheelwright, you know, one of our accountant and brilliant tax advisor, said, this is the problem with this, is that you're just printing money and you're literally putting it out there in ways that haven't been thought through, haven't been thoughtful. But there are millions of people who are absolutely still suffering and who could use an additional stimulus check just to pay the bills. I mean, let me know in the chat today, like, are you one of those people or are you fine now? Like, you're just totally fine. The economy's roaring. You're good. Everything's happening. You know, look at the economic data today. Like, wow, people are, you know, doing great. S&P, you know, back up again. Record numbers across the board. Wall Street doing great. States sitting on a surplus. My question is, why hasn't that money been redistributed? Like, what is going on here that we're sitting on this money right now? Why isn't it being handed out to the American people? Why isn't it going to small businesses to help them from collapsing? Why isn't it going to help, hazard pay for people who've been on the front lines? Why isn't it going? States have this opportunity. The White House was also asked yesterday about whether or not we're going to see runaway inflation as a result of this economy and the printing of money, having to respond to Janet Yellen's comments the other day, of course, about having to raise interest rates. How will all of this shake out? Here's what Jen Psaki had to say about that.
Eyes, somewhat to make sure that our economy doesn't overheat. Does President Biden agree with it?
I think President Biden certainly agrees with his Treasury Secretary. But I will say that one of the reasons I think you're asking this question is about inflation concerns and something that we watch closely here, obviously, in the Treasury Department and in the White House in close coordination. And that is something where there's agreement. I looked at Secretary Yellen's remarks, or the ones that I saw, which she also conveyed, is how vital it is to make these investments now and how important it is for our economy, for investment in research and development, for leveling the playing field on the workforce to make exactly this investment. So, of course, officials who don't work here in the Federal Reserve and other places closely watch what needs to happen. I'm not going to speak on interest rates, but we also take inflationary risk incredibly seriously, and our economic experts have conveyed that they think this would be temporary and that the benefits far outweigh the concern.
So this would be temporary. So they're going to, everyone going to keep saying this. This could be temporary. This inflation, this, you know, this interest rate, maybe rate hike at some point. It's going to be temporary. Just going to be temporary. Don't worry about it. Nothing to see here. So we'll re-rack this tape in a couple of months when the cost of things continues to go up.
Well, they'll excuse it away again with more excuses. Then they come up with something. Well, now it's this. Now it's Republicans.
Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity, right? I mean, you have an opportunity as president of the United States right now to lead on this issue. Like, we're seeing what this is doing to the economy. We're seeing right now that businesses are, you know, there's an enormous push into the economy right now as we reopen. And we want to get this economy burning and churning again. And these additional stimulus checks are helping small businesses. They're helping families catch up on bills. They're helping them get caught up. Look, if we see a flood of mortgages that are going to foreclosure in the second, third, fourth quarter of this year, we're going to know the moment right now. Like, this is the moment right now to help these people right now in April and May and June of 2021. Like, this window is right now available to you to make sure that we don't have a catastrophe in Q4 of this year. Inflation. I mean, I can see a perfect storm forming if they don't act on this. Housing crisis, inflation, the cost of goods and services skyrocketing, and you're not going to be able to afford it unless we can keep this stimulus and make sure that we're being smart with our spend right now. You know, why are big businesses, why are we subsidizing oil and gas companies? Why are we still doing that? Reposition that money. Some states are sitting on a surplus. Okay, reposition that money. You have the authority. You're given this money by the federal government. Use it to help people. So we will see this next round of stimulus in the form of the child tax credits rolling out shortly by July, the goal. And then, of course, those retroactive payments, the people that have paid taxes on the unemployment benefits will also be caught up. And those are sending out in May right now. So that's good news. But if you're just joining us, a fourth round of stimulus checks, the White House is open to not only a one-time payment, but a recurring payment for stimulus checks. In addition to which, it falls on Congress, according to Jen Psaki, now to push this through. Does it? Aren't you the president of the United States? Don't we lead by the White House? Like, what you're going to punt this? You know, you continue to print money. You want to do this massive infrastructure package, and you keep arguing about child care and all of these other pieces as are part of stimulus. Well, so are the American people that are relying on this right now. And we're seeing this, you know, massive disaster looming on housing. So I want to talk now about evictions. We are on the precipice, folks, of an eviction nightmare. Yesterday, breaking news that this judge struck down the eviction moratorium. And it's just it's a heartbreaking moment. So this eviction moratorium, it's the problem with this thing, just to give you some context here, is that the eviction moratorium was basically carried out by the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. Well, the judge basically said, well, CDC, you don't have control of this. You don't have control of this. This is not yours to do. So here's how the breaking news unfolded yesterday as this judge brought this news.
Williams is with us. So, Pete, this was a federal judge that put this down. What does this mean? Is there going to be a stay? Walk us through the order.
Sure. So remember the history here. After Congress passes the CARES Act, there is a moratorium on foreclosures that are federally supported. Then there's a second action by the CDC extending it to all rental properties. The Congress allowed that to renew. Then the Congress authority expired. And so the CDC authority that's in effect now is based solely on the CDC's own interpretation of its legal authority under public health law. And the judge said today, sorry, you don't have the authority to do this. The CDC had said this was necessary to help prevent the spread of disease, to let governors better enforce stay-at-home orders to keep people in their homes instead of gathering with others. But the judge said today that the law does not give the CDC the authority to do this on its own. Now,
so it's not clear if this gives landlords all over the country the right to evict. We don't yet know. A group of property owners sued the Center for Disease Control, basically preventing them from evicting non-paying tenants. They argued that they could not afford to allow tenants to live rent-free for over a year now. The court decision did give them the right to evict these people, but for now. It only applies to these plaintiffs specifically. So this is not like a widespread, you know, hey, run for eviction court all of a sudden. But the Justice Department says it's going to appeal this ruling, and it's seeking a stay of that decision, meaning that it will ask the court not to enforce these evictions until this all shakes out. So that could prolong this. If this case does, you know, set precedent, though, this is when it could trigger a windfall of evicted families. There are some estimates this morning that 1 in 5 renters are behind on rent right now. But landlords are still stuck with the property taxes, the insurance, the maintenance, and the mortgages on their investment properties. And state and federal aid to them has been basically nearly impossible to get access to. We know this from experience. We actually looked into it because we had a number of non-paying tenants as a result of the... And so we were seeing, like, you know, how, you know, can we apply for this? We hit an absolute brick wall. And it's supposed to be available. No luck. So, I mean, how much more, you know, this was passed, this economic assistance for rental assistance was passed during the Trump December stimulus package, right? Where is it? Why don't people have access to it? I mean, Adam Loma says, heck, I'm able to pay rent, but I'm still having trouble finding a place to live. Other people saying, it's right now, Becky Medved says, my son was evicted last June. He's working full time now and can't get a rental because of the eviction on his credit. You know, economists worry that a wave of evictions could hamper all of this economic recovery that they're singing and dancing about. You see it all over the corporate media, right? They're all over this talking about a fourth, you know, they're all out there saying this is fantastic. You know, we got a booming economy. Everything's great on Wall Street. All these big corporations are showing record profits. But we can't manage to keep people in their homes. There was also, of course, we had the Iowa governor striking that down as well, saying she's going to allow evictions to go forward, to which I tweeted about that, told her to go jump off a cliff. Like during a pandemic, this is an order you're signing through executive action during a pandemic when people are going to be, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? They can't buy because they can't find a place. Can't, you know, their credit's ruined. They can't rent because you're evicting them now. They're getting pushed out through no fault of their own, by the way.
And don't, you know, that eviction goes on their record for their rental history.
Yeah. Yeah, like Becky just said in our chat, she said her son got evicted because of the pandemic. I think he lost his job, right? And now he's got an eviction on his credit. And now good luck you know, the thing is, he's not going to be able to find another place to live. Unless someone gives him a lax, you know, looks the other way and doesn't care about an eviction on his credit report.
And also they generally ask for that when you're renting a new place for your referrals or whatever. And if anybody calls that landlord, they're going to, yeah, he never paid his rent, you know, like for 6 months, he didn't pay rent. At no fault. They don't have the context, but it doesn't matter to them. They see him as a dirtbag.
Right. Through no fault of his own. you know, how are they going to work if they have no home? I mean, this is the issue. Journey sent a $5 super chat, saying that I live in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. I received $10,080 in rental assistance for back rent and a 3 month future rent. This truly saved me. Yes. Real people being saved with actual money stimulus as a result of rental assistance. See, you're able to get it. Other people aren't, and other people don't even know how to get it. I'm curious, Journey, too, as you said, like, how did you find out about this? How did you find out about this program? How were you able to access it? Anita says, my landlord is in a seriously kind of run-down apartments, raised our rent $100 plus more security deposit. That's unbelievable. During a pandemic. I mean, that's where the law, I mean, step in, is that you're not able to raise rents right now during a pandemic. Like, there needs to be some action at the federal level. And I guess they, you know, they tried. So right now the Justice Department says it's going to push on this. We'll keep our eye on it. Mama Grant Gamer says, I'm in the process of getting evicted. I applied for rental assistance 6 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting. Yeah, that's something we should wait for, right? Let's just sit back and wait on this while everyone's, you know, about to lose their homes. But this is a big decision. I mean, you know, this affects those particular landlords in those that sued the CDC over this issue. But I also love the idea that you don't have money, like you can't afford, and I get it, right? You own the house. You can't afford to pay the mortgages and other things. I get that. But you can afford to hire some big shot lawyers to sue the CDC, right? Like, you know how expensive lawyers are. So you're going to front load all of this money to go after the government. You can afford that, but you can't afford to take care of your tenants and get through this pandemic. I get it. All right. Crystal says, I paid my rent. Still got evicted, so I can't apply for rental assistance because I paid. You paid your rent and still got evicted. How's that work? Anybody else could use rental assistance right now? Have any of you tried? Let me know in the comments. Like, have you tried to get rental assistance? What have you been told? What is your landlord saying? And are you worried about eviction? Like, are you one of those five people, one in five, who are behind on rent?
Yeah, why don't you take that $20 billion increased military budget and pass it to rental assistance? What right. impact would that have? Rather than, you know, making sure, I mean, and they get that quickly. When it goes to the military, they get it now. Like, it's available right away. Yet people are losing like their homes lightning. And they just can't find the money somehow.
You know, these big banks on Wall Street, that's why the Fed wants to, you know, the Fed is able to funnel money to these big banks immediately. Oh, you need $2 billion? Got it. It'll be there this afternoon. But Kiki in our chat says, I applied for and had been approved for the emergency rental assistance back in March 22nd. Still waiting for funding. They told me to be patient. So Kiki, they told you to be patient. But you know, when JP Morgan needs $3 billion, they'll get it there. They'll get it to them in the afternoon.
Yeah. Be patient. It's summertime. If the weather's nice right now, you'll be all right living outside right now. Be patient.
Yeah. Just live in a tent.
How dare you?
How dare you ask for help? Sick. It's disgusting. Yeah, really infuriating. Really infuriating. But I want to tell you about our friends over at Public, because I want to give you a chance to get some free money, at least, in this situation. And they're giving away free stock, and it's very simple to do. They are fantastic, our friends over at Public. Let me put it up here on the screen. So the reason I love Public for being able to trade is because it's a social network in a way. And actually, in fact, I think it's an educational and social network, and it's fantastic. It makes the trading stocks public. It makes it like a social media marketplace, and it allows other investors to discover companies to believe in, invest with any amount of money. I post over there regularly, so come on over to Public and follow me. Use our link, and when you use our link, you'll get a free stock. You get a free Tesla stock. You can get, you can pick, actually. You can get Apple. You can get Tesla. You get a slice of stock. And just for signing up for free. Morninginvest.com/public. And I post over there all the time. And so what's cool is you can follow me, just like you'd follow me on Twitter, basically. Follow me on Public. And when I make a trade, you'll see that in it. I post immediately when I make a trade. And you'll see it. And you can, you know, decide if that's a company you're interested in investing in. Then you can jump on it. And then you can see when I sell it. Shows when I sell it. And shows actually how much I earned when I sold it. It's a really great platform. Plus, I type up news articles over there. And then I type different things I'm trading and things and just thoughts on the market, marketplace. Really great place to learn. Everyone is. And what I love about Public is it's super supportive, too. People over there, like the people that are on the platform, are really encouraging. There's not, it's not like negative, you know. Everyone's like, oh, that's such a great tip. Thank you. No one's like, you know how people get on social media. So anyway, they've done a great job making it friendly and a great place to learn about the markets. Morninginvest.com/public. Get a free stock today. Thanks to our friends over there. And I am a big fan, but they do. So let's get this up and running.
I was going to say before we move on from that topic, you know, the thing is, like, when the media or anybody talks about this rent issue, if they do talk about it, they talk about how, you know, it's the people's fault that they can't pay. They're not paying their rent. They're, you know, they try to make up all these stories and or they don't cover it at all. So any amount of press that this issue gets, it's negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we saw it the other day too about, you know, this talking point about unemployment assistance. You know, it's keeping people from going back to work. They're getting unemployment. No, actually, the data shows that most people do want to go back to work, but the people that don't want to go back to these low wage, you know, jobs are because terrible conditions. You know, and I wasn't really going to cover this story today, but I am now because you sort of encouraged me to, in a way. Is the story we covered today in our newsletter. By the way, are you subscribers of our free daily newsletter at morninginvest.com? It's totally free. And a story we covered in the newsletter, I wasn't going to do it here on the show, but I am now, is about Denny's. And Denny's shareholders revolted. The power of the shareholders. So, you know, so surprise, surprise. But Denny's shareholders revolt after the top executive concedes $15 an hour minimum wage won't hurt business. So Denny's shareholders demanding that the restaurant chain and its membership in the National end its relationship in the National Restaurant Association, because the National Restaurant Association has been lobbying against the $15 an hour minimum wage. Denny's CEO, John Miller, received a letter from his association's the shareholders asking them to end this pitiful wage for tipped workers. I mean, and raise it to $15 an hour, and then also for the tipped wage, raise that up as well. And they did it in California already, they've said. And California has outperformed the system. So they did it at their Denny's locations in California already. And guess what? It turns out raising the minimum wage actually benefited Denny's. They actually did better. They performed better. Their employees performed better. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? You pay your employees better. They perform better. They're likely to stay longer. It helps people.
Well, and what's funny, I bet if you look at Denny's, they're not as profitable as like an IHOP or one of the bigger, like Texas Roadhouse or those bigger chains. They're probably, lower than that, yet mm-hmm. they can do that. And these big companies that are still right. showing billions of profits are like, we can't afford that.
We can't afford that. And just think about it. I mean, you've been to Denny's, right? And I'm sure you've been to Denny's drunk. And I'm sure you've been there at 4 in the morning. I'm sure I've been there when I was in college, you know, at like 2 in the morning. And imagine those poor servers that have to deal with a bunch of, like, you know, crazy college kids at 3 in the morning who want like an omelet or a grand slam or, you know what I mean? And they're making minimum wage We had a friend, a family friend that worked at a Wendy's and said it was just the worst of the worst. I mean, imagine the people that you have to deal with at like all hours of the night and everything else. And so, yeah, lift them up, help them. You know, it's amazing what happens though when you do it. And now we have evidence in California that it worked. So they're going to do this now nationwide as shareholders revolted over it. Hey, the power of shareholders to say, hey, we don't want this happening anymore. In our, what, you know, what's
well,
happening?
What a rarity.
There's like shareholders. Like, right. They have a conscience suddenly. I don't know.
Usually it's like this one person's trying to, the CEO is trying to make a decision and the board's like, no, you're not. That's going to dip into our profits. But to have the shareholders actually be like, yeah, dip into our profits. Let's do this. It's the right thing to do.
Exactly. So good on the shareholders at Denny's this morning. Some good news from them to take care of people. Now let's see if Amazon and other companies will actually follow suit and allow employees to unionize and you know and have better working conditions. Maybe we'll get there. I want to share the victories as much as the bad stuff.
But when does the negative smear campaign start on the news channels about that?
Yeah.
Like the guy with the 60,000, you know, those tree huggers, those Denny restaurant tree huggers.
Yeah, Dan Price, who was the CEO of that company, who, of course, he was blasted all over conservative media, calling him a tree hugger for paying a minimum salary to all of his employees at $70,000. And everyone said, oh, he's going to go out of business. He's going to screw his company. Turns out profits has skyrocketed. His employees were able to have children and now provide for the children. Families that worked for him that didn't think that they could afford to have a baby, now they did. Now they have a family. They bought a home. He was back on actually Fox last week, and I've reached out to him. I'd love to have him here on the show. But he said, yeah, I'm a millionaire. Tax me. I should pay my fair share. Tax me. Tax me like I should be. The little guy is who gets taxed at the highest level, the W-2 employee. Tax me. So good for him. He's like, yeah. So he goes, you know what? Tax me as much as you want so that we can provide health care for all Americans. I'm a millionaire. Tax me. So we can have healthcare for everyone. Good on him. Like, what a rarity, right? Good for him. I mean, there's probably a lot more people like that than we think. He's just been very vocal about it. I want to talk about states right now that are moving to ban Bitcoin mining over a big pile of FUD. Again, the word of the day is FUD. And this is, you know, again, what FUD is, of course, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And it's used as a propaganda mechanism. It's a big pile of disinformation. So here's what New York is doing. New York has introduced a bill that would freeze Bitcoin miners pending an environmental review.
For 3 years.
Exactly, for 3 years. So they wouldn't be able to do anything for 3 years. They say it really will not help them hit their decarbonization goals, right? This is the framing of this, that it's Bitcoin's fault. Uh-huh. A new bill in the state legislature seeks to place a three-year moratorium on crypto mining pending an environmental review by the state. This is by Senator Kevin Parker, Democrat, would lift the moratorium for only mining facilities, and it will not adversely affect mining facilities. The legislation is in its early stages and was referred to the Senate's Environmental Committee on Monday. If passed, the bill would empower state inspectors to evaluate the impact mining facilities have on water quality, air quality, carbon emissions, and wildlife. Miners would be allowed back online only after they complete an environmental impact statement. Those deemed to be hurting New York's carbon-cutting plans would be nixed and closed down. Yeah. A lot of these vacant, empty power plants have actually roared back to life, especially in the Finger Lakes region. These were like long dormant plants have now come back. They're now producing 50 megawatts, expected to produce 500 megawatts by 2025. But all of this is centered around this notion that Bitcoin mining is terrible for the environment. And the mainstream media ran with a couple of faux studies that have now been debunked because, frankly, I think the whole point of this is that they just don't want They don't want alternative currencies.
What you need
they
to do...
They want the financial system.
...is you need to change the word in all of these articles, change environment to Wall Street, and there's your real answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let's just go down the article word. Line here. Here's... Bitcoin, NFTs, and other crypto fads are destroying our planet. Or destroying Wall Street. They're getting scared, right? Is that the issue here? Look at that big deflated... Look at this big deflated balloon of the Earth. Bitcoin, NFTs, and other crypto fads are destroying our planet. MSNBC. Here's the New Yorker. Why Bitcoin is bad for the environment. Yeah, it's as destructive as the real thing. Yep. BBC. Bitcoin consumes more electricity than Argentina, according to this new study. Wow. Yeah. So is that true or is it FUD?
Yeah, let's see the environmental impact on Facebook servers, on Google servers, on Netflix servers, mm-hmm. which would be Amazon servers. They're all run on Amazon. So let's see the environmental impact of all these server farms, and then let's talk about Bitcoin.
And let's try to find out the problem with, and we'll get into the data in just a second, because I had a pretty interesting email the other day that accused me of being a member of Q, because... I don't even know what. I mean, it was ridiculous. And
wait,
she said, you know, yeah,
you're not. Hey, everybody. Thanks. You. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I thought we were buddies.
They said David clearly is a member. They said, dear, actually, the email said David clearly is because, you know, you guys, when it comes to this, you're missing the story here. And Bill Maher. So Bill, it was specifically around the Bill Maher story. And, you know, Bill Maher, the other night, he did his new rule thing, and he slammed Bitcoin as fake money, that it's not real, that it's not, doesn't mean anything, that no one understands it. And I interviewed Michael Saylor about it. You can watch that video. We did a whole piece on that. But anyway, here's what Bill Maher had to say about it. And I'm gonna discuss the environmental side of this, and then I'm going to talk about why he's misinformed. Listen.
Much of warfare is a video game now. Why not base our economy the same way? And cryptocurrency is literally a game. Bitcoins are created by what they call mining, but not the kind of mining that's done by seven dwarves who share a woman. This kind of mining involves using rooms full of supercomputers to make something that is purposefully arbitrary. Essentially, one computer thinks of a number between one and infinity, and other computers take trillions of guesses at what it is. It's the old game of I'm thinking of a number between one and 10, except times a gazillion, and the guy guessing the number lives in China, and the guy who knows the number lives in the Matrix. Take that, work. Do I need to spell this out? There is something inherently not credible about creating hundreds of billions in virtual wealth with nothing ever actually being accomplished and no actual product made or service rendered. It's like Tinkerbell's light. Its power source is based solely on enough children believing in it. And unfortunately, what is real is the unfathomable amount of electricity those massive supercomputers suck up for their mining. The power, listen to this, the power being used right now to guess numbers and win imaginary prizes is the same as all the electricity needed to light all of New York State, except the governor's office where they use romantic candles. Bitcoin uses more electricity per transaction than any other method known to mankind. Just one uses more energy than a million Visa transactions and has the same carbon footprint as 85,000 hours of watching YouTube, what a 15-year-old calls the weekend. Bitcoin uses more energy than Netflix, Apple, Facebook, Microsoft, and Google combined. I mean, cars are bad for the climate, but at least they take you somewhere.
Thanks, Bill. So is that true? Well, the answer is no, it's not. And what he cited, and he mentions the study, doesn't mention it by name, but he's referring to one of two studies that have now been debunked. And I think the one of the heads of Binance answered this question and was asked about this, and he laid it out pretty good. He used the word FUD.
So a Cambridge University study says Bitcoin consumes more energy than Argentina. There are several questions around the negative environmental impact of Bitcoin. Is Bitcoin burning down the planet?
Yeah, we see a lot of this, what I would call FUD, about kind of Bitcoin burning the environment. And I think a lot of it has to do with a perception of Bitcoin as inefficient. And the process of mining as inefficient. In many ways, a lot of times what they're looking at is an apples-to-apples comparison against other payment processors. Zooming out, we fundamentally need to look at Bitcoin mining a little bit of a different way, because what we're looking at here is that Bitcoin is the monetary transfer vehicle. It's the minting, and it's the circulation of new currency all in one. So when we're looking at something like Argentina and the value of Bitcoin to the world, it doesn't even seem like a fair comparison, right? For something that is being praised as a digital gold, as something that is highly valued now, that is not only, in my mind, justifiable, but it's also valuable to the world. And I don't think it's by accident. I think it's by design that it takes that energy.
You know, Binance...
Yeah, incredibly powerful for the world. In fact, we showed you yesterday about the people who, because of their debasement of currency, they are moving towards their own currency. They're using cryptocurrency, the people's currency in Venezuela. People are finding that this is the way that they can sustain their family. And I'm going to have a report for you in a minute that I want you to grab on fiat currency. David, you have that link ready, right? We're going to put it up on the screen.
Yep.
So I want people to download this because it's going to be powerful. So we're going to get there in a second on fiat currency and how every fiat currency in world history has collapsed. And a new report out this morning just shows the details of this, which you've got to read this. But a number of people have already disputed Mars' statements about Bitcoin's energy usage. Most of the energy it uses is either renewable energy, hydro, geothermal energy, etc., or it's using stranded waste energy, which is converted to something useful. Also, his assumption that Bitcoin provides no value, which is totally false. But he's clearly referring to the Mora et al. Paper from the University of Hawaii, that or the Cambridge University one. Which was entitled "Emissions Alone Could Push Global Warming Above 2 Degrees," because he references that. 2 degrees from May 2018. This report. He's wrong. He says it's published in the journal Nature. It's not. It was published in the journal Nature Climate Change, which is different. They're not the same. So he was there. He was wrong right there. Journals. But there have been multiple academic responses to this paper that proved it's garbage. Number one, the number one problem is that it assumes that Bitcoin miners are using these incredibly old machines. That's simply flawed data. So it assumes then that they're using all of these really energy-hungry machines from like 10 years ago. That's flawed. Number two, the transactional intensity. And that's even, you heard Bill Maher repeat that same lie again about transactional intensity, about Visa transactions and so forth, right? That the paper argues that when Bitcoin is bought and sold, it creates high energy. Well, that's wrong. It's false. In fact, only when Bitcoins are actually created do they use energy. Not during the transactional phase. That part is minuscule. So if the whole underlying premise is that during the transactions, all these transactions that are happening, that is what's causing this energy consumption, it's not. It's the creation of the Bitcoin. The third major problem with this is that it also, and this is the best one, is they assume that the speed in the transaction of Bitcoin will expand 10x. Like this is going to continue. And that data is in their data set. But there's just one problem with that. Bitcoin is capped at around 3 megabytes per block, and it's not going to increase. So it's not going to, you know, the idea that, oh, Visa, you know, has whatever it is, like tens of thousands of transactions a second. Bitcoin doesn't, and it's capped.
Well, and the reason it's capped is like, look at the Federal Reserve that's not capped. That's why it has to be capped, because if you start to let it get out of hand, it becomes to where it's arbitrary, just like the dollar. It's kind of the same thing.
Right. Yeah, it's capped at a certain number, and that, you know, you can't keep creating more and more of it. As a store of value, there's nothing like it. And so to sort of sit there and mock it and say that it's, you know, this is not, you know, it's worthless and it's all Mickey Mouse and it doesn't make any sense and we should all be laughing at this and is just, it's condescending. They also make assumptions about the type of energy being used for mining in the studies. Bottom line is the study uses a lot of fake and fictional data, and it draws its conclusions from that fake and fictional data. He's also worried about natural, you know, here's my thought, is if he's so worried about natural resources being used up and making money, let's talk about actual money that would actually take to make paper money. You want to look at this? Let's take a look at this. Paper currency. To use paper currency, to use water during paper making, uses 1 million gallons a day. 1.4 billion liters per year. Water use during printing, 250,000 gallons a day. So not just the painting, but the printing of the years. 0.35 billion liters per year. And then what about all the waste ink? Pulp sludge, 6 million pounds of it, 2,700 tons. And then what about all the electricity use? Look at that. Look at the pulp making electricity use, and then all the ink usage, and all the cotton, and all the linen. Yeah. It's the same thing around the world. I mean, you look at water usage, 1 million gallons a day, 1.4 billion liters per year. And if we're already saying that, hey, the future of wars in this world are going to be fought over water because it's becoming such a scarce resource. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below. Who's right? Do you agree with Bill Maher? Or do you agree with the actual true science on this? Love to hear your thoughts. I'm going to put this up on the screen here. Put the link up on the screen. I want everyone to go grab this report right now on fiat currency. Just go to portfoliowealth.com/fiat. F-I-A-T.
Portfoliowealthglobal.com.
Sorry. Yeah, portfoliowealthglobal.com/fiat. Go grab it right now, and then it'll show up in your inbox. And I love these guys. They do fantastic reports. But this one on fiat, now where did I have put it on my computer here? I want to go through this because it's this is astonishing. And why, when you look at all fiat currencies in the world and how every fiat currency in world history has collapsed. All fiat currencies end in disaster. And if we look at how governments are inefficient and ineffective, and we've repeatedly seen what happens when governments take control of a sector of the economy, as this report points out, there's no reason to act responsibly or to accept any accountability. Like what these big banks do. I mean, that's where the freshly minted money goes first. It goes right to the corporate fat cats. And if you look at the amount, you know, it's like, as the report points out, it's not difficult to find examples of modern day fiat money catastrophes. And guess what? Massive inflation spikes as a result of it. Hungary, Zimbabwe, Yugoslavia, Germany, Greece, China. As recently as 2007, 2008, the Zimbabwe dollar indicated an equivalent daily inflation rate of 98%.
For those that are trying to download it, mine went directly to spam. So make sure you check spam after you put your email in to get it.
To put it another way, the majority of failure or discontinuance of fiat currencies is due to the government intervention, warfare, and economic policy. So when you see, like, you can actually now move your money out of currencies into cryptocurrencies. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? That's why you're seeing this pushback. That's why you're seeing these governments now trying to step in and kind of say, well, it's the environment. Now it's the environmental problem with fiat currency or with Bitcoin. So we're going to step in and try to block this. A lot of you have tried to buy Bitcoin or crypto from New York State. You're having issues even getting onto different exchanges to do it. And this is the kind of stuff that the government's doing. And if you're not paying attention to what's happening right now, you're going to be left behind as these governments continue to print money and as these governments continue to devalue currency. And they want to keep you in this cycle. They don't want you, you know, investing in alternative assets. They don't want you, you know, making sure that your family's wealth is safe and protected in the form of, you know, real estate or crypto or Bitcoin as a store of value. And, you know, it's becoming apparent exactly where Wall Street, where corporate America is coming down on this. You know, they think of it as a joke, but this is, you know, why Bitcoin is bad for the environment. New York moving to block Bitcoin miners. MSNBC, Bitcoin, NFTs, and other crypto fads are destroying our planet.
How much power does Bill Maher's studio use for all these big studios in New York?
Yeah.
Kafka Steels is saying to you in the chat, if you think crypto is anything less than terrible for the environment, you are just lying to yourself. Got a Bill Maher fan okay. there, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that they can't make improvements on it, but one of the flawed data, what I'm saying is when you are Bill Maher and you go on and you cite a specific study that has now been debunked with flawed data, that's FUD. I mean, you're putting out disinformation. The truth of the matter is that we don't know. Like, we can't say, where are these data miners? Which data mines are actually inefficient? We don't know. As part of the data set, we know. Like, if I were to mine crypto here at my studio, I'm on 100% solar power. 100% solar power. So how many of these data mines are being run on solar? On renewables? We don't know. That's the point. How much of it is run on coal power plants? We don't know.
Were you planning on running the interview, Michael Saylor interview today?
I'm going to hold off because we're out of time today. Let's do some super chats then.
All right, we have Crystal Dragon as a new member. Welcome. We've got, let's see, Brooke Jones, Bill Maher is talking like all currency isn't something made up that people got together and decided was valuable. He's such a joke right now. Yeah, he is. I used to really like Bill Maher, but anymore, I just can't watch him. Joanne Morgan, my landlord won't fix anything because he knows there's nothing I can do. And that's sad that they're taking advantage of a situation like this. So, Crystal Dragon, we had two people to work Saturday and other restaurants that weren't fully open were shutting down. I had to run drive through by myself, no cooks. Holy cow. That would be crazy. Don Bradley, anyone on any form of Social Security needs it. We are struggling bad. Yeah, there's a lot of people, unfortunately, out there struggling bad right now. It's awful. Chalatico 09, what are your thoughts on XRP?
Well, we're still waiting. XRP, of course, part of the Ripple lawsuit. One of the issues with Ripple is that, you know, over 50% of Ripple is owned by the shareholders. The SEC is that they, you know, that like could be like a pump and dump scheme and they're pumping it up. So that's a whole lawsuit that's unfolding right now between XRP, Ripple, and the SEC. So I think XRP is going to explode personally. Excuse me. I think XRP is going to explode if this lawsuit winds up in their favor. And if the judge, if this gets dismissed or if they win this trial, it's going to be huge. XRP will explode. So that's my thought. But it's a big risk. So if you invest in XRP right now, You could be, you know, if you have some money, I'm not saying you do, but if you have some extra money that you're like, you know what, I'm going to gamble. I want to take this amount of money and gamble. It could pay off enormous. But it could also, if the lawsuit goes the opposite way, it could be, sorry, bad news.
Phil Green, I bought Moderna at $175 due to earnings coming out. Then Biden makes it tank with his patent decision. Now what? Will it come back?
I mean, where do these pharmaceutical companies wind up? You know, I mean, it's a risk, certainly, because we're seeing all these different pharmaceutical companies right now under pressure, whether or not if we have America finally take a stand on lowering prescription drug prices. I mean, the president talked about it just a week ago at his address that he wants drug prices to come down in you know, to the rest of the world level. We pay three times the amount for prescription drugs in the United States. Think about that. I mean, if that passes, if that becomes law, if we actually have prescription drug prices drop, I don't know. Do you want to have your money in those companies? That's certainly a risk, but that's, you know, I can't give you financial advice, but I don't own any of those pharmaceutical company stocks. First of all, I think they're also, I think in many ways they're thieves. So it's like, I don't invest in oil and gas companies either, you know?
Heather Williams, all crypto miners should switch to solar energy. Then what would they say?
Right. Justine, and a lot of them do, but that's not in the data.
Teresa Monroe, I cannot sign up with Webull or Public. Do you know if they will accept Chime? We have seen several people say that they don't accept Chime for some reason. So you're just going to have to reach out to their support and see if that is the case.
Yeah, I would use Bybit for investing. That's my platform of choice for investing in crypto and buying crypto. You need a VPN to do it, though, of course. So we'll have a link in the show notes below, but it's just go to morninginvest.com/coin to get $1,600 deposited into your account after you. They have different thresholds. So if you open your account, you deposit $150. I think you have to look at their tiers, but they deposit money. Every time you deposit, they put money in your account, real money that you can use to invest in Bitcoin or other cryptos. So morninginvest.com/coin is the one of my choice.
Jesse Lemoyne said, thank you for everything you do. New member here.
Thank you for becoming a member. You know, we are not mainstream media. We are not bought and sold by billionaires, so we try to bring you unfiltered news here. We will go after Democrats, we'll go after Republicans, we'll go after bureaucrats and corporations, and we want to empower you to make money. That's the goal. How do you do that? Investing in assets that perform, right? Like real estate. Understanding how to do it. Investing in long-term stores of value, like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies that are outside of this corrupt government system. That's what we teach you to do here. And we bring you the news, the business news that I think matters to you. Welcome to all the newbies here. AK Love is here. Mark Cabral is new. Jared Miscuti is new. I hope all of you guys will subscribe. I mean, we do this show for you for free every day, 9 a.m. Eastern time. I'd love for you to be a part of our community here. Grow with us. Learn how to build wealth. Learn how to invest. I've been a longtime real estate investor. I've done thousands of real estate deals. We're building 400 homes this year at my company. I've been investing in crypto now for a number of years. Made some really nice money on Bitcoin, and I'm expanding that portfolio into different alternative coins and Bitcoin. And I have a small portion of my portfolio in the stock market in companies that have a long-term store of value, in my opinion, companies that aren't going anywhere. And so that's what we try to teach you here to do, is to empower yourself and not to put your money just in a 401k and pay enormous amounts of fees and get screwed over by these corporations on Wall Street. V. Rob says, I'm new and improved. I love that. Third Eye Diecast, already subscribed. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Charles Giovanello.
Hey, man. Just float off your tongue.
Yeah, man. Like molasses. Have you looked into NEO recently? Massive developments on that project.
I have. Yeah, there's a couple of these projects that I'm watching closely. I haven't been looking at that one closely, but now that you mention it, I will dive more deeply into it, Charles. But you know, I'm really interested in a lot of these NFT platforms. I think it's not a fad. I mean, people can call it a fad, but once you see, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see all of these NFTs, these non-fungible tokens, where I can doodle something on an iPad, color it, create a piece of art, and then sell it so that you, whoever buys it, is connected through a smart contract to that piece of art permanently. Like, you own this digital item. And once you start to think of like sports stars and musicians and all of these people who could sell a piece of digital art or a digital token or something as an NFT. Let's say you're Billie Eilish and you want to sell through a smart contract, a special limited edition album cover, and you made 10 of them and only 10 people can buy them. And the price is like 5 Ethereum to buy each of them or something, you know, like we're talking a couple $100,000, but those people are huge Billie Eilish fans. And then that smart contract tied to that piece of album art could allow them access to backstage at concerts, to come to record their next album and watch and sit in the studio for a few weeks. And like, actually, you know, this is going to enable people, instead of just like signing sneakers and putting them up on eBay or selling them at an auction, like be able to really do some incredible things. And so it's not a fad. I think once people understand that this is going to be so like a really a new part of a new payment structure. So those systems that are built, that are building the support structure for smart contracts like NFTs and these other transactions on Ethereum, I think it's going to be really powerful. Someone asked earlier, what do I think about Ethereum Classic? No one's working on it. You know, I mean, think about Ethereum Classic was really a breakoff of, it was the project that the creator of Cardano created and then started Cardano, and all of the focus is now on Cardano. And you have Ethereum and Cardano. And then you have Ethereum Classic, which is like languishing. No one's doing anything on it. So I don't know why you'd invest in Ethereum Classic. That's my opinion. OGN, I'm actually in it. Liam wants to know if I've heard of Organics. Yes, I actually own OGN. OGEN. Noble Guy says, I should create a coin. Well, we were talking about creating a Grover coin. Dogecoin took off. Could we create Grover coin? I think we need to. I think David was working on the coin infrastructure.
Let's do Grover coin, but let's make it 100% backed, mined by solar energy. We'll tie it to solar energy.
Solar energy. Yeah. Yeah, we have all the solar panels here at the studio, at the Morning Invest studio.
Crypto Tika wants
again,
to know,
I invested still, in... We're still...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead. I invested in Transatlantic and 420 Real Estate. What are your thoughts on cannabis real estate investing opportunities?
Well, you're speaking right to my heart, because real estate... the thing is, I want to look at companies. I'm going to actually have a company real soon that allows you to invest in raw land, but not have to do it in large chunks. And a lot of these companies are actually leasing out cannabis or to different farm providers through these lease programs. And so raw land as an investment is exploding. I'm a huge real estate investor. I've made a lot of money in raw land, but I mostly focus on structures. So houses and duplexes, that's what we do. But cannabis, once the federal government legalizes cannabis in the United States, and it's coming, it's going to be a land rush. So, but I'm going to have a company I'm going to feature here on the show soon, one that I've been doing a lot of research on, and I'm really excited about, that allows you to invest in this raw land. Then that's leased out to different farm projects, cannabis projects and others. and you're able to make money off of that investment. So you're going to be blown away by that. If you subscribe to the channel, we'll have that for you.
Clayton, Apple is building a $1 billion in New York City or in North Carolina. $1 billion, I don't know what that means. $1
billion. New headquarters.
Headquarters?
Yeah, Apple's building a new headquarters in North Carolina. And you're nearby, you want to know if you should sell your house. I mean, don't do that because Apple is building something there, you know? I mean, if you really want to move, I mean, and I'm not a financial advisor, okay? So I can't give you advice on when to move or sell your house, but I know if I lived there, I'd be looking and saying, okay, well, you know, we were considering moving to Europe. Better life, cheaper, you know, safer. So maybe now's the time. We know Apple's coming and this market is red hot. And also we know that interest rates are going to be rising soon. And so the cost of, you know, interest rates are going to be going up and because inflation's coming. So if you were thinking of moving and you know you could get an incredible price on your house right now, that's something to consider. But just because Apple's coming there, to me, wouldn't be a reason to sell. But, you know, Clayton, I need a CPA. Any recommendations? Yes, I do. I have the best in the business, and they have all sorts of different pricing tiers depending on, like, what business you have and need. If you come to my website, this is morrisinvest.com. Here's our website, morrisinvest.com. See up right here in the URL bar? So here's what I want you to do. Come over. You can book a... Well, anyway, up here in the nav bar, we've got lower your taxes. So go to lower your taxes. Click on that. We've got a partnership with our friends over at Wealthability. Permanently slashing your taxes. They're fantastic. Okay. We've partnered with them, Tom Wheelwright's company, and they built out a whole team just for watchers of our show and clients of Morris Invest. And they used to only service like really high net worth individuals. But now they built an entire team with the best CPAs in the country. And you can cut your taxes by 10 to 40% in 3 months or less. Keep those tax savings forever. And what the beauty of them is, and so you just got to come over here and put in your information, and then you'll book a call with them. And you can even do a free consult call with them to see if it's a good fit for you. They're really fantastic. So again, go to morrisinvest.com/lower taxes is the site. They're fantastic because they don't just do, hey, filing taxes. They are all about tax planning throughout the whole year. Filing taxes is the easy part, as Tom likes to say.
And they're for business and personal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like my mother-in-law works with them. She doesn't have a business. So many of our clients are with them. And we get thank you notes all the time from people. They're like, that's the best decision I ever made. When we moved from our old one in New York City to Tom and his team at Wealthability, game changer. They've saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they plan all year long. So they'll have like monthly calls with you. And they'll be talking about, hey, we noticed this. We're going to switch this. We're going to do this. So that when it comes to filing the taxes part, like that's the easy part. It's the tax planning. Like how can we plan to save you a lot of money on your taxes? Are you investing in cryptocurrency? Okay, are you buying and selling crypto? Because that's a taxable event. And they're going to work with you on that and build a strategy for it. So again, go to morrisinvest.com/lower taxes. Again, morrisinvest.com. And then just click on the little drop-down menu and then lower taxes. So we are a full-service real estate company, but we've partnered with them on the tax side because that's the number one question we get from clients that work with us is like how, you know, I need a good tax accountant that understands real estate, understands investing, you know? So make sure you subscribe to the channel because today I'm going to release, we'll have the video, an interview with Michael Saylor, Bitcoin billionaire. He had a lot to say. We released a video last night. If you missed it, check that out. We have just a small teaser video. You could see what he said about Bill Maher on, you gotta go watch that. He is the one that talked Elon Musk into converting US dollars at Tesla over to Bitcoin. He's the one. And Elon listened to him. He owns $2.5 billion of Bitcoin. He thinks it's the number one asset ever made and has a higher store of value than even real estate. So you got to watch that interview. It was a fascinating interview. It was one of those where he and I talked for like an hour and then we ended the interview and then we had a lot in common. We ended up talking for another 20, 30 minutes.
I love interviews and, like that.
He And he really appreciated what we're doing on this show because he's like, we need more. He's like, the mainstream media lies to everybody. He's like, what you're doing with this show is empowering and help, you know, helping people navigate this. He's like, more people need to know this. And he's like, when we get people like Bill Maher and when we get articles like this garbage, it's all made to try to keep people out of the system, keep people poor, keep, you know, shutting people's bank accounts down, printing money like crazy. He's, you know, he's betting big. He's bet big. And, sorry, I was clicking on websites that you weren't seeing. Now you see them. All right. Much love, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Thanks for all the new subscribes. Glad to have you guys here. We will see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Don't forget to check out morninginvest.com/coin. That's over our friends at Bybit, the number one platform for trading cryptocurrency. This is the one that I use. We have a link in the description below. And the beauty of it is that, well, you need to use a VPN to access it, and you'll get $1,610 in free money when you deposit, okay? So go to morninginvest.com/coin to get $1,610 just for signing up. But you need to use a VPN. We have a link below on how to do that. So you can use ExpressVPN, you can use IPVanish, whatever one you want, super cheap. And you can try it free for 30 days so you can log in. And you need to log in outside of the United States because they will not allow U.S. IP addresses. So the United States, once again, clamping down. All right, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for a great show. Hope we brought you value today. If we did, give us a nice like button. Thumbs up, smash that like button, and hit subscribe. And we'll see you back here bright and early tomorrow morning, everyone. Bye now.